You're listening to the Doing English podcast, the no-nonsense English learning show for professionals and experts, helping you forget English isn't your first language. Now, over to Julian.
Good morning from here in freezing cold, blustery Tokyo. It is sunny today, but oh my god, is it cold outside. There is an icy wind blowing, and I've just come back in from my daily run. And wow, I have no intention of going back out there again today. I'm Julian from doingenglish.com, and welcome to episode 21 of the Doing English podcast. What are we talking about today? Today, I've got a very big tip, a very big lesson to share with you that's going to help you to speak English much better without needing to learn any more vocabulary, without needing to memorize anything at all. In fact, without even really having to do anything, simply changing one tiny thing about the way you think about the English language can make a huge difference to how well you speak it. But I have to warn you, today's lesson, today's idea for improving your English is embedded in a story that is, how can I put it, somewhat gross. It's not a very nice story. Only listen to today's episode if you've got a strong stomach, pun intended, and if you are not going to feel sick about hearing stories of people being sick. You have been warned. First of all, this week's five-star review. This week's five-star review was going to come from Ireland. Basically, every week when I record these episodes, what I do is I set iTunes to a random country, pull up the Doing English podcast page, and check the reviews. This week's review would have come from Ireland. However, shock. I checked the Doing English podcast in Ireland, and there are no reviews. So there is no review to read out this week. So, hey, you guys in Ireland, if you're in Ireland, you like the podcast, why haven't you left a review yet? Go ahead and do it. Please help me out. Rate the show, leave a review. I'm looking at you guys in Ireland here, and I'll be checking again next week, and I expect to see at least 3 reviews from Ireland in there next week. I'm a little bit sad, to be perfectly honest. Obviously in Ireland, I'm an unloved man. Whatever. Well, there's no review this week, but if you haven't already, you can and should sign up for the Doing English Daily newsletter. If you haven't signed up for it yet, why not? You should do. Every day you'll get in your inbox a free email from me. Each email contains some kind of idea, story, tips, anecdotes, all kinds of things to help you improve your English. You'll also get the chance to join premium Doing English courses such as Two-Step Speaking, my step-by-step system for mastering the English language, or Doing English Plus, dare I say, the ultimate program for improving your English. If you haven't done that, you can and should by going to doingenglishnewsletter.com. Just whack your name and your email address in the boxes provided, and you will be away. I'll look forward to seeing you on the other side. Let's get into this week's podcast episode. Bit of background. A couple of days ago, about a week ago now, in fact. No, not quite a week, 5 days ago. I went out for a few beers with a mate of mine. It's not something I actually do that much anymore, to be perfectly honest. I don't get out much. That's the problem with working from home. You become a bit of a hermit. And I have that tendency anyway. But occasionally it's good to get out, have a beer, unwind, you know, chat with mates. And that's what we did last week. And we didn't start until quite late. So naturally then, coming home got quite late too. And in fact, I took probably the second to last train coming home. So there I am. I'm at the station in Shinjuku, waiting for my train to take me home. And I'm stood at one end of the platform, at the front, what would be the front of the train when the train comes in. So there I am, stood there, reading a book on my Kindle, minding my own business. And then out of the corner of my eye, I spot this huge guy. And he can barely walk. And he's quite young, 21, probably a university, student. And he's absolutely wasted. He's hammered, totally shit-faced. And he stumbles across the platform and he stumbles into the corner. And when he gets there, he did something kind of surprising. Well, surprising for me as a Westerner anyway. He pulled out of his pocket a plastic bag. And then another one. And another one. And he laid them out nicely on the floor. Then he's got another plastic bag in his hand. He sits down, takes off his coat, he folds it neatly, and he puts it down on his makeshift mat that he's made. Next, out of his other pocket, he takes some tissues, and he lays those down on the mat as well. Then he takes the remaining plastic bag in hand and proceeds to vomit the contents of his stomach into his bag. Again and again and again, he's retching and he's heaving and he's just getting it all out. And he fills the plastic bag up with sick. It's absolutely disgusting. The smell comes wafting up the platform. Wow, I can tell you. The smell of drunk people vomiting is not nice. But then when he's finished, he uses the tissues to clean himself up, wipes himself down, puts them in the plastic bag, stands up and puts his coat on, gets all the plastic bags up off the floor, puts them neatly into the plastic bag, ties it, and then presumably it's all ready to go in a bin somewhere. All of this happened in seconds, less than a minute. Probably about a minute. And the thing which really surprised me is quite simply that, you know, in the UK, people would just get drunk and they would just vomit everywhere. They wouldn't care about people in the station, on the platform. They wouldn't care about anything. They just go in there and they just chuck up on the floor, vomit everywhere, make a mess, get in people's way, make a total ass of themselves. This guy, you know, he was going to be sick. It was going to happen. Instead of making a scene, instead of being sick everywhere, he did it in the tidiest, neatest, most conscientious way possible. Credit where credit is due. Well done to him. But this is the thing, isn't it? This is a big difference between culture in the UK and culture in Japan. People in the UK, I've got to say, they tend not to really care about other people that much. And people in the UK drink far too much. And when they're drunk, they tend to be obnoxious. They tend to be boisterous and they tend to be loud and they tend to be quite, well, not pleasant people to be around. And when they're going to be sick, they just be sick wherever. They pee up the wall, they vomit on the floor. They couldn't care less about other people. But in Japan, Japanese society tends to be quite polite all the time. People think about others. They're conscientious of the people around them. Even if they don't know those people, they don't like to make a scene. They like to be polite and they like to show consideration for others. And it's this consideration for others which I absolutely love about Japan. I've got to be honest, being a foreigner here, I've been here for coming up to 10 years now, and I would be lying if I said I truly understood Japanese culture. I'm getting there slowly. I'm always learning more. Japanese culture runs deep. And it's very hard to understand, I think, if you're an outsider, as is the case with any culture. But here's the thing. In order to speak Japanese well and to understand Japanese properly, you really have to understand things like this. You have to understand the cultural context in which language is used. Not just language, but the way people act and the way people do things. And this example of a guy vomiting in the station is such a perfect example because he does what he does in the way that he does it because he is driven by culture, by the social norms, the way that he is expected to act. Well, it's expected that he doesn't get so drunk that he vomits in the station. That would be the best thing to do. But if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And you do it in the most considerate way possible. This shows in the way that people use language as well. And like I said, I'm repeating myself now, but this is so important. In order to understand the Japanese language and to use the Japanese language well, you have to understand the culture of the country. And this is the same for learning English. You have to understand the culture of the people that you are going to use English with. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to understand all about Americans. That's pointless if you're going to be using English with people in Singapore. But if you are going to be using English in America, you're going to want to understand the American people, the American social norms, American culture. If you're going to use English in India, you need to understand how Indian people think. You can't just use English as you would use Japanese with a Japanese person, because the things that you say and the way that you act will not be understood in the same way. You need to understand the way that people perceive you and the way that people understand you, and tailor the way that you use language based on that. Doesn't mean you have to be inauthentic. It doesn't mean you cannot be like a Japanese person. I'm not saying that. You most certainly should be authentic, and you most certainly should use English as a Japanese person if you're Japanese, or as an Italian if you're Italian, or as a French person if you're French. But the point is, if you can understand how the other person sees you, how the other person perceives you, you can do amazing things with your communication. There we go then. That is the end of this week's story. Just a short one this time, but it's a huge, huge tip there. This is something you really, really want to keep in your mind, this idea of language. I'll probably talk about this again in future episodes. And I have to say, this is not the only motivation, but one of the big motivations for me starting the Doing English Plus program was this very concept of culture. Doing English Plus is a premium program for professionals and experts, people who really need to use the English language, and people who are really dedicated to mastering English and becoming really successful people in their lives with whatever it is that they do with English. And in order to help people learn about culture, the Doing English Plus program includes a community. It's a community based in Facebook, and it gives people the chance to communicate in English, to discuss things in English with other people. We leave posts, we leave comments, messages to each other. We also record videos and things like that. And it's such a fantastic way to learn about each other and to learn about how other cultures and how other countries use English. Have there been times when people have got angry with another person because of something they've said? Absolutely, yes. Because there was some kind of cultural misunderstanding. But this is such a great thing because, hey, if you're gonna make these cultural mistakes, if you're gonna say something that annoys someone without meaning to annoy them, much better to find out that what you've said is culturally inappropriate in a safe environment such as the Doing English community than in, say, a business meeting or whilst giving a presentation or at a medical conference or wherever it is that you use English. If you want to find out more information about Doing English Plus, you can go directly to doingenglishplus.com, where you'll find out all kinds of information about what's included in the program. And that's also where you can join the program. Or alternatively, if you want to find out more about me and what I do first, which to be honest is my recommendation, you can and should go ahead and sign up for the Doing English Daily Newsletter, which you can do by going to doingenglishplus.com. The reason I say this is because the Doing English Plus program, it's not cheap and it's certainly not for everybody, I'd much rather you join the newsletter first and really got a feel for me and the way that I like to do things. Because the way that I teach and the way that I work with people is perhaps quite different to other online so-called English teachers. That then is it for episode 21. What have we got coming up in next week's episode of the Doing English podcast? Honestly, I have absolutely no idea because I haven't planned it yet, but you can bet your life that it's going to be something good. So tune in 7 days from now. I'll see you then. Take care and goodbye.